When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Native Texan Jill Riley said her music career started after her mother purchased a copy of Jesse Coulter's I'm Jesse Coulter. She said it changed her life forever and launched her on a long music career. Jill joins us on this edition of Americana Music Profiles to talk about her upcoming release, Common Ground, and the debut single, Cowboy Hats and Cars. Hi, Jill. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Greg. Thanks for having me. I'm super excited about this one.
Ax, thank you. Thanks for taking the time to talk with us today. Where are we connecting with you at?
I am in Marble Falls, Texas, staring at the lake at Marble Falls in my hotel room. Yes.
Okay.
It is beautiful. Beautiful day. It's awesome to sit on the edge of this lake. I think it's actually the Colorado River that pours down into this lake. But I'm in air conditioning.
So. Oh, good. Well, you get the best of both worlds, right?
I do. It's perfect. Got a guitar sitting right here. It's awesome. Yes.
Well, I noticed when we made the connection, you had a Tennessee exchange. And so I wondered if maybe that was, I know you're a Texas native, but I wondered if maybe you were in a different place at the time.
Yes, I live in Nashville. I live in Franklin, which is south of Nashville.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I'm a Texasian, however you say that.
Yeah. Okay. And yeah. Born and raised, right? All that good stuff.
Born and raised in Texas. Yes. Went out to Nashville in the mid '90s and have been in and out. I was in L.A. for a little bit, back in Texas a little while, and then came back to Franklin about 2014, I think it was, yeah.
Was that professional moving around, chasing music, or some other part of your life?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
A little bit of all of that.
Okay.
I moved back to Texas to build yet another company with my father. We built a natural gas company before I moved out to Tennessee.
Okay.
And then I came back to Texas for a little while to kind of take a break from Music Row and the whole deal. And I built a power company, believe it or not. I'm one of those weird left-brain artists.
Okay.
Left-brain songwriters.
Yeah.
Go figure. Yeah.
So.
And I love, man, I'm so split. I love Texas so much, but I love Tennessee too. I'm just going to have to share my time, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's wonderful to live in a world where we can live that way. If that's what turns you on, you know, it's that you can just get on a plane or get in a car and bounce and there you are, you know, that's so cool.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
When did music creep in for you as a young person?
Music creeped in for me when I was 5 years old, standing on the front porch of my granny's house, and I had the water hose as a microphone, and the grass was my audience. And I could feel, I don't even know what I was singing, but I could feel someone watching me. And I looked over, and sure enough, she was peeking around the corner. So when my mom came to pick me up, she sat me on the counter and said, "Donna Sue, listen." Donna Sue's my mom.
Uh-huh.
Which is in one of the songs on the album. She said, "Donna Sue, listen to her. I think she can sing." And the minute she said that, it was like a five-year-old knew what she was going to do.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
from that moment on, huh? Wow. That's
from
so
that
cool.
moment on. Yeah. Yep.
did it become something you pursued at that point, or just one of those things that stuck with you and you found yourself chasing it one day?
You know, I think I did a first grade play and sang Happy Days Are Here Again, and I think I was a sunflower So that was my big debut. And then this is also on one of the songs, one of the songs on the record, actually the title song, Common Ground. When I was 10 years old, my mother put a Jesse Coulter record on, and that was that. Mm. I knew this is what I was going to do. Mm. And between the sound of her voice and the sound of steel guitar, I was ruined. I'm just like, no, there's no, I have to do this. I wanted to be an astronaut because my mom set me, took me by the shoulders and put me in front of the console TV and said, look at this. I was 4 years old. Look at this. These ninjas came back from the moon. I was like, what? How do you, how do you do that?
Yeah, yeah.
And, wow. But then Jesse stole my heart and set my path. And I think probably from that moment, it was just set in stone. This is what I was going to do.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah.
When did you start to pursue it a little more seriously? You know, professionally, did you do it in high school, college? How did all of that play out for you?
Well, I started writing songs when I was 12, and when I say that, to this day, I look back and go, "Why did you not have better things to do?" But they just, songs would come, and that's still, I say that I don't ever remember wanting to be a songwriter.
Hmm.
A songwriter is something I wake up and find out that I still am, whether I want to be or not.
Wow.
And I do want to be, but really it's just something that was there.
Mm-hmm.
But as God would have it, he sets across the street from us a coach's wife that had the vocal talent of, I mean, the level of Linda Ronstadt, Pat Benatar, and I'm really not exaggerating. And I would have been about 14 by then, and my mom was realizing she's really gonna, like, this is in her, and she's gonna do this, and music was in my mom too, and but my mom was raising five kids, you know, so I'm sure she was like, here, you go do this.
Yeah.
But anyway, this was, became her best friend, and this best friend came across the street with a stack of Carly Simon, Nicolette Larson, Carole King, the Beatles, and
all the good stuff.
All the good stuff, and drew out the shapes of the chords. That was my only guitar lesson, just drew them out on a piece of paper. Well, this is the shape of a D, this is, and off, I went, you know, or that was the kind of next level. Really cool story about her is some health issues have taken her ability to sing in the last several years, but she came out to a show that we did in Lubbock, Texas, and I have not seen her in years, and it was a shared show with a local artist named Junior Vasquez and his wife and son, and they're just amazing, and they do all those Laurel Canyon songs, you know, I mean, and they do them to a T, and we just sat there and sang together, this woman, this mentor of mine, Carolyn. It was quite a moment on this tour. Yeah.
Wow. That's cool. So is there a moment when you kind of formed your first band, or was this just kind of always your trajectory and this is what was going to happen?
Yeah, it was what was going to happen. When I was 15, my mom was a paralegal. She wound up being a paralegal for about 30 years. And she came to me and said, okay, it's clear you're going to do this, but you're going to need to learn the legal side and the business side, and hands me a little stack of books. And that was a rare thing. You know, most songwriters just enter Nashville completely blind. But my mother's a wise one.
Yeah.
And so I read like Donald Passman's All You Need to Know About the Music Business. It's stuff that Belmont, you know, the music school teaches that she had gotten a hold of. But anyway, so that kind of appealed to this left brain business side too. But I drew a line in a world atlas that I have. I have an office on Music Row in the old RCA building, which I have a history there, and I've just recently moved back in there. Anyway, this world atlas is, it belonged to my mom, and you know, the atlas has a bunch of pages, right? It's like one state per page. And so I drew a line from the little bitty town I grew up in the panhandle of Texas, to Nashville. And like when I was like 7, 8, 9, I don't even know. But I mean, I just knew I'm going to do this thing. Yeah.
Wow, what determination.
I
started to say, and maybe they shouldn't, but I wish every kid could have that kind of a vision for their life. We have so many people that seem like they're still searching, even as adults, sometimes to find who they are. And it just to be able to have that kind of vision at that age is so cool.
It's a passion. There's even a Bible verse that, that people misinterpret that says, raise up a child in the way he should go, and he won't, and when he gets older, he won't depart from it.
Uh-huh.
And people interpret that as like, he'll do the right thing. It's really about what you just said. It's like, help him find the vision for his life. Yeah. And even when he's old, he won't depart from it.
And, yeah. Yeah. I love
and
that.
And speaking of old, I'm getting older, and, I really love that because, you know, I just think writing songs in your older age, your past 50 age,
yeah,
you just bring a lot more wisdom to the table and a lot more insight to the table. And
yes, you know, for sure. In multiple walks.
In a much better way.
Yes.
Say that again.
In multiple walks of life.
Yes, totally.
The wisdom of older people is being ignored way too much these days.
I'm afraid. Totally is, and it's why I love to interject it in the arts. I was going to say, you know, I went to Nashville in the 90s and did the whole Music Row thing. Had a publishing deal with Ronnie Millsap's company, his producer Rob Galbraith, and did about eight years, worked as a mastering engineer and a studio manager for Randy Kling, who was the mastering engineer for RCA and all the Outlaw sounds.
So
literally, wow. Jesse Coulter and Waylon. I mean, it was just a crazy, you know, small world thing. But I even in recent years, I realized back then there was something that was kind of like handcuffs on me. Hmm. And it was just simply that I was not 90s Nashville. Mm. That just wasn't my sound. And I would try to be that. And the more I tried, the less I was that and the less I was me.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of had to come out of it, really, and even go back to Texas, do something different. And then as I returned to it, I'm like, well, I was an outlaw because that's what Waylon, that's what the outlaw movement was about. It was like, we're going to come here and do what we do, but we're going to do what we do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, with the Americana genre, it's I feel like that just opened doors to such freedom to just be you.
Know? Yeah. And it's really cool to see how artists, young and old, have embraced the Americana umbrella. Everything from basic, I don't mean basic in it's not probably a good choice of words, but basic string music, the roots themed, just, you know, stripped down all the way to, you know, the stage acts with the five piece bands and the pure outlaw country. I mean, that umbrella covers all of that, but there's so many artists in there that have kind of starting to find themselves, have found themselves and really just doing it their way. But so many people are responding to it.
Yeah, I'm so thankful for it because, you know, for every artist that sounds a certain way, there's a whole people group or a bunch of people who resonate with it and needed to hear it. That's what I love about the genre.
You, having been there in the 90s when there was still that control from the earlier days and starting for the music industry as a whole to kind of start to begin to lose that control. Were you aware of it then that kind of the clamps were being broken away and people were being able to kind of create their own sound finally?
Well, not only did I sense it coming and feel it coming musically in the mastering studio, we were made privy all the time to the technology that was coming down the pike. You know, it was just on a shelf and they're just throwing at us at us all the time. And kind of a funny story is we did a presentation in Studio A one time for Music Row to explain what DVDs were and that they were coming and that we were going to author DVDs. And the response was, Blockbuster will never let that happen. They will never empty their shelves and trade out VHS for DVD. Mm-hmm. And that really is how stubbornly people would stand on the old standard. We're like, it's all coming. So, you know, even not knowing about Napster, but knowing we're going to advance in technology, whether we like it or not. Mm-hmm. And someday that's going to be digital and it's going to be an on-demand sort of thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So yes, I did see it coming, but then there seemed to be it wasn't just East Nashville, but there was like a movement in East Nashville that sort of just said, we're coming out. Those creatives were going to come out of there and be who they were, you know. For Liz Rose, who I moved to Nashville. I had a trio in Texas with Liz Rose's ex-husband and my ex-husband, and we all moved together. And her daughter, Caitlin Rose, is one of those that came out of East Nashville. And that's when I was like, okay, this thing is busting loose. And, you know, all this diversity is coming forth. And
Yeah. That's cool. So along the way, you've been able to record how many projects?
I laugh because I have many started projects.
Okay.
I should put an album out of a compilation of all the started projects.
There you go. Greatest hits.
But
that haven't been yet, right?
a box set of near projects. There were near record deals and, you know, and really that stuff started happening in the late 90s, and things were really kind of getting confused for everyone at that point. I mean, labels were folding, you know, nothing wasn't real sure footing. But before I ever moved to Nashville, so in 1993, I was in Dallas, Texas, or the mid-cities, and I was kind of weighing out, should I go to Austin for a while? Should I go to Nashville? But there was still that. No, I've known since I was a little kid, it's Nashville. I'm going to Nashville. But during that time, this idea came for the current project. And so the current project is a 12-song story album about my wild and wonderful cattle ranching family from Hansford County, Texas, up in my great-grandparents raised 10 kids out on the high plains and survived both the dirty 30s and the Great Depression. And it is a story that needed to be told. And I know that now, and I needed some age to do that. But then in 93, I was like, I can't get far enough away from the cowboy culture I grew up in, and I'm trying to be a hippie songwriter, and I don't want to do a cowboy project, right? So I just totally shunned the whole idea. And then when I came back to Texas, kind of take a break from Music Row, I wound up living in a downtown Fort Worth apartment, and I love the city of Fort Worth. And if people don't know about Fort Worth, and no matter what they think about Dallas or the rest of it, go, take Fort Worth in. But so my cattle ranching family would load up a train in Dodge City with the cows and the boys, as one of the songs says. The song is Fort Worth. And they would come into the stockyards in Fort Worth. They would trade their cattle. They would check into the Worthington in downtown Fort Worth. They would order Cadillacs and have them delivered. And this wild bunch of cowboys would race those Cadillacs all the way back to the Panhandle of Texas. And I'm talking about like in the ditches, in the pastures. I mean, they were that bunch, right?
Wow.
So these were my heroes. This would be my grandfather's generation.
Yeah. Wow.
And, so living in that apartment and look at that overlook downtown, all that came rushing back. And I just said, you know, you've really got to do that. And I still procrastinated on it. And then I moved to LA and wrote a song, which is kind of the main point of the project is in this song. And it's called Adrian Lane, which we're releasing. Let's see. Okay. So we released one song, 7/7. We're releasing the next one on 8/8, then one on 9/9, and then the whole album on 10/10. And I've been telling live audiences, that's as much so I'll remember as so you'll remember.
I like that.
But anyway, Adrian Lane came. I got to LA and said, okay, I'm going back to songwriting. I'm going to start focusing on it. I'm going to have a songwriting day per week. And the very first day I sat down and wrote that song. And I just went, okay, this album is not going to leave me alone until I just sit down and write it. So eventually I locked myself in a house in Angel Fire, New Mexico, another little favorite place, and just said, I'm not coming out of here until these songs are written. And finally I had it done.
Yeah. Wow. That's neat.
Yeah. It's been a long haul, but all for good purposes. Even COVID, we tried to release this in 2020. And that just was not going to happen. We just had to say, forget it. We got to put this back on the shelf and wait. So
you've been sitting on it for a little bit then?
Long time, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Wow. What was the motivation for now? Why did this feel like the right time?
Goodness. I mean, I've done some other things with it. You know, I was already headed this direction, but my dad, who I built the businesses with, passed away in July, and he so believed in it. And I really was. I was already planning to release it, but I think that also lit a fire. You know, it was another one of those things of, I mean, grief is grief. It just is, and it has its way with you.
Right.
But he would say, okay, grieve, that's fine, but get off your butt and go do this, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And you mentioned you're not in Nashville, you're somewhere else. Is this part of a tour? Are you out with some of this
yes.
music now? Okay.
Yep. So we're doing, my husband and I are doing a 2-month, and it's funny because it's kind of a wild looking sea. And the last name of this cattle ranching family is Kluck, like a chicken, believe it or not.
Hmm.
And it was actually German. It was von Kluck with a K, and it got shortened somewhere down the line.
Oh, wow.
And my great grandfather actually grew up right outside of Lebanon, Tennessee, which is right outside of Nashville.
Uh-huh.
And so anyway, if you listen to the record, all these stories are on there, but, anyway, we're doing this kind of crazy looking sea. So we did Oklahoma, Arkansas, the panhandle of Texas. Now we're in Lubbock, which is panhandle. And then we're coming through the hill country of Texas, which I am in love with. And then we go back up and do Louisiana, Mississippi, Muscle Shoals, Alabama, and then right back up to our backyard.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you doing this as a duet, or do you have some accompanying musicians that are playing?
No, it's you know, we're just doing, well, we're doing the album. My husband is playing guitar. He's an amazing artist and songwriter too, but on this one, he's just being the guitar guy on this one. And then next year we're going to hopefully come around and do his, and I'll be the background singer on
okay.
that one. But, we've done a variety of shows. We did a show in the, so I recorded this album in Amarillo, Texas. And used Amarillo musicians who I totally respect. There's quite a little hidden scene that people don't realize is there. And I did that because I wanted to really pull the sound of the region, and I will never regret that. I'm really happy with the result of that. So we did a concert in the studio that we recorded in. It's called Covenant Recording. Glenn Storley is the owner there. So we've done this variety of shows, but we're having a blast out here.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Do you have another project on the horizon that you're working on?
You know, somebody asked me this just 2 nights ago. How many songs do you have that you haven't put out? And I have 80.
Oh,
that I have not recorded that I feel I need to record. So,
wow. So you do have a box
lots
set.
Lots of projects to come. I do have a box set, yes. You know, I think I'll probably, you know, we're in a different day now. And so you can release them as a single or as a 3-song EP or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think I'll just kind of keep cranking them out.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I appreciate you telling me your stories, and it's been fun getting to hear about this record. It's exciting. I'm going to go listen to the rest of it. I got a few advanced singles to listen to, but I just the little bits and pieces of your stories. I want to know the rest of the story. So thank you for sharing this.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's fun to share these stories, and I think it's an important time in our history to share these stories.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Joe.
What divides a family divides a nation.
That's
so
true.
It's all about family.
Yeah. How can people find you? Can find the music and get in touch.
So commongroundalbum.com. And if you're a Facebooker, it's Jill Riley Official. If you're Instagram, I don't do Instagram too much, but I've got some stuff out there that is commonground.album. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Jill. I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.